morning and welcome on the second Sunday of Easter. I would like to bring to everyone's attention, if you see things a little different in the sanctuary today, we're going through some upgrades. So please excuse the mess. I'm going to call on Mr. Joe, let him talk about the scholarship program.
Good morning. Due to our circumstances, for folks that are eligible for Holly Grove Lutheran Church scholarships for this year, if you will just email me at jrd52768@gmail.com, I can send out the application. At this time, we are still planning on doing our fundraiser, so the gift card basket raffle should be on the 24th, I believe it is, of May, but that is pending change, depending on the circumstances. Also, the Holly Grove Recreation Committee is doing a cow bingo. That is set for the 16th of May, but that also is likely to get moved back due to our current situation. So we'll keep you abreast on that. But you can, if you want to go ahead and start purchasing tickets for that, or let us know that you want to purchase tickets, they're $10 each. And you can see any of the members of the Recreation Committee to start getting those. And we'll get tickets to you as soon as it is feasible. Thank you.
We'll move on to birthdays. Well, happy birthday to Gene Capley, Neil Clark, Chip Blower, Lynn Dennis, Brandon Everhart, Dwight Everhart, Bobby Waitman, Kent Everhart, and Jill Hunt. Happy anniversary to Jonathan and Tina Hedrick. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Okay. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children to come up. All right, good morning. Good to see you guys. Okay. Well, today's gospel lesson talks about faith and belief. And we're going to see that the disciples were sort of scared. They weren't quite ready to share their faith. So the night after Jesus was resurrected, he came to them, but there was one missing. But he came to them and showed them his hands, his feet, and his side. And they rejoiced. They were very happy for that. But the one that wasn't with him, do you know who that one was? Do you know what his name was? It was Thomas. Have you ever heard us talk about the doubting Thomas? You're going to hear about him today, okay? So, doubting Thomas. Thomas told the other disciples, he said, unless I see with my own eyes and touch the marks of his hand and put my finger in his side, I will not believe that he is risen. So, the next week, Jesus showed up again. Thomas was with them. And when Jesus stood before him, he said, my Lord and my Master, or my God and my Master. So he professed his faith and his belief right there. And it was pretty strong because Thomas was with Jesus way back in the beginning of his ministry all the way through. But like the other disciples, his faith kind of wavered a little bit after Jesus died because their leader was gone. So sometimes we have to see to believe things, don't we? Okay? So, just like this can of air, okay? It's a can of air. Let's think about that. I went out and bought a can full of air, something that I can breathe all the time. I went and bought it, okay? But the reason I bought it was for cleaning off computer screens and computer keyboards and stuff. But when I hit it, you see anything? So, how do we know there's air coming out of there? Do you believe there's air coming down there? Yeah. See? You can feel it. You can hear it, but you can't see it. But you know it's there, right? So you don't necessarily have to always see things to believe them, just like Jesus Christ. We don't see him in his presence with us. We see pictures or images that other people have of him. But in our hearts and in our minds, we believe. Okay? So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us Jesus. Grant us the faith and trust that we can believe without seeing, and that we can convert others to the same. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.
First reading today comes from the book of Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you, according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its powers. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, "He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses." The word of the Lord. The Psalms for today is Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord. I have no God, no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who chose another God multiply their sorrows, their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, in your right hand and pleasures forevermore. The second reading comes from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our gospel lesson today includes several parts. We have two appearances of Jesus to his disciples, Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit unto the disciples, and also the disciple Thomas. Since I feel most of you probably heard quite a bit about Thomas in his part in the gospel, about being the doubter, I will forego that and focus on the first parts of the scriptures. So last week we celebrated the resurrection, but now is when we should be living that resurrection. That's our challenge in our faith. Living the resurrection is not always the easy thing to do. We get sidetracked by material things. Sort of like the movie where the dogs were talking, I can't remember the name of it, and all of a sudden, squirrel. That happens to us. We lose our attention. We lose our focus. We stray from our faith. We even stray from our belief. Belief in ourselves, belief in others. There are days when we want to stay in bed and close out the world. Some days it seems easier that way and safer to lock all the doors of our house and to avoid the circumstances of our lives. Some days we want to run away and not deal with the reality of our lives. When we shut the doors of our mind or our heart, we limit ourselves, though. Every person, event, or idea that we lock out, regardless of the reason, we are locking ourselves in. And that's what happened to the disciples in today's gospel. It's Easter evening, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. It's the day of the empty tomb, the day Mary Magdalene declared, "I have seen the Lord." Close your eyes. Let's put yourself in that place. Frightened you'll be found by the Jews, maybe even the Romans. The doors are barred shut from the inside to keep others out, for fear of being arrested and even put to death for being followers of Jesus. You sit, silently grieving for yourself, and need some form of certainty, security, and safety. But you're locked away from the outside. In John's gospel account, Jesus' tomb is open and empty. But for the disciples, they're in a place where the doors are locked, almost as if that had become their tomb. Even though Jesus has risen, and he has been seen by Mary Magdalene. The disciples are so bound in that fear that they've forgotten Mary Magdalene's words of faith, hope, and love after seeing the resurrected Jesus. Their tomb was of fear, doubt, and blindness. And all this after only 1 week. Their teacher and leader was gone, and they didn't seem to understand Jesus had been resurrected. So in one week's time, he appeared to them twice. Let's think about that. They had been with Jesus since the beginning of his ministry. Yet they were still afraid. He had taught them. He continued to teach them and lead them while he was healing, while he was working for his ministry to grow and to spread. So this life that they had imagined with Jesus was alive, when he was alive, seemed to be put aside. So this was the time that it was probably most important for the disciples to act on their faith and to carry on the teachings and the message of Jesus. So how does the story change from being afraid? Fortunately, it changes because Jesus understood his disciples and exactly what they needed. He understood they needed to be nurtured and reassured, not admonished. It began when Jesus appeared to the same disciples who had abandoned him before and were assembled in fear. It continued when Jesus said to the disciples gathered, "Peace be with you." Such a simple sentence. But that had to have had the most calming effect for those that were present. So much so that Jesus is showing up caused them to rejoice. But I imagine those words, "peace be with you," do not have quite the same meaning today that it did at that point in time with the disciples. It was the embodiment of what Jesus did and who Jesus was. Excuse me. It was a certainty. It was security. It was safety. And obviously the relief that the disciples needed. He had called them and taught them. Now he was preparing them to show up throughout the world. It continued with him inviting and commissioning the disciples to continue to do his work. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is part of the 3-year preparation of the disciples to go out and spread the good news and to forgive sins to all people throughout the known world. Is our life so much different? Are we living in the freedom and joy of resurrection, or are we locked behind those doors? Is our life different after the resurrection? If not, what are the locked doors of our lives? What locks up our heart and our mind every day? When John describes the doors and locks he's speaking about more than a house, more than physical locks. He's also describing the spiritual condition of the disciples, kept locked away from the outside. What keeps you and I locked in these places in our lives? It could be fear, like the disciples. It could be that we have questions, disbelief, or conditions that we place on our faith, just like Thomas. It could be some sort of loss, anger or resentment. For most of us, it's the difficulty in opening up to new ideas, possibilities, and change. Almost 4 years ago, I decided to interview for administrative positions in the school system. After the first round of interviews, I was called back in by the superintendent, and she said, "I'd like to offer you a leadership opportunity." I said, "Okay." And she told me the school. And when she told me the school, I kind of like, I'm not quite so sure about that. I'd even joked with her when she said it, because there was another high school that there was an opening. I said, "Didn't you say such and such instead of this school?" She said, "No." She said, "I said this school, and specifically because I need you in that building." She gave me some time to think about it. So I went home, thought it over, prayed about it quite a bit, talked with Jennifer, talked with my daughters, and then made a few phone calls to some other administrators in the county that were friends of mine and talked to them. Still, I wasn't completely convinced. So the next Monday morning, I was called back to the superintendent's office, and she sat down with me and she talked to me, and she said, "I know you've been in at one school for 23 years, and it's a frightening thing to do, to change and move and do something different." She said, "But I believe you're ready. You've had the degree for quite a while. You're involved in things. Your administration supports you, and they believe that you will be good and you'll do a fine job." So with a little bit of reservation, I went ahead and took the position. Again, I still had reservations. I wasn't quite sure. I had lost a little bit of faith in myself. But in the end, I had two very good years there before I moved on to where I am now. It was a small leap of faith in the big picture. But because of that first change, knowing what was going on, the second change 2 years ago was not nearly as difficult, because I'd already experienced the hardest part. I knew that I was prepared, and I knew that I could complete the job. Even so, I prayed again, and yet my fears were calmed by the Holy Spirit. I heard that, "Peace be with you." But nevertheless, fear is a powerful motivator in our decision making, especially when we get locked into a situation. Even so, it's times like these when Jesus enters the locked places in our lives, unexpected, sometimes even unwanted. Jesus shows up in our lives. He stands among us, offers us peace, and breathes new life into us, the same as he did with his disciples. He doesn't open the door for us, but he gives us all we need so that we might open ourselves to a new life and a life of faith and action. So it's up to us to share the good news today and tomorrow and the day after. We should be like the disciples, receiving that Holy Spirit, rejoicing, and being happy. That was the beginning of their ministry throughout the known world outside of Jerusalem. That was their invitation to receive and share the Holy Spirit. And all this is possible for us because of God's forgiveness and Jesus' daily invitation for us to take time to live the resurrection, not just today, but every day. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Join me in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he arose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Praying in our homes while gathered together in the Spirit of Christ, we ask God to bestow peace upon a needy world. Using words from today's psalm, protect us, O God, for we take refuge in you. Faithful God, we pray for the church around the world. Enter into our countless separate houses with your gifts of peace. Guard the health of our bishops, pastors, teachers, and musicians. As Christians around the globe are united in their suffering through the coronavirus, so unite us also in the hope of life in the risen Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creating God, we pray for the earth that you have given into our care. As human society is quieted by sickness, give your plants and animals, lands and seas, a time to renew and replenish themselves. Nurture the fields that will supply our food. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Righteous God, we pray for the nations. Give peace to our troubled world. Strengthen democracies. Bless our country with integrity in government, attention to the needy, persistence in facing the pandemic, and wisdom in proceeding into an unknown future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate God, we pray for all and any in need. Comfort the bereaved, accompany the sick, especially the multitude who have contracted the coronavirus, and those we remember in our hearts, especially Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Dwight, Steve, Tina, Randy, Carrie, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Joe, Brian, Bill, Robert, Gary, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Kay, Randy, family of Tommy Barnhart, Eva Ray, David, the family of Clyde Young, Pauline, Brooke, Edwina, Banks, Houston, and also be with all of our servicemen and women all over the world and our first responders, and for all those unemployed that are looking for work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Visit the homes of all who are isolated and hold the lonely and fearful in your arms. Grant your peace to the millions of unemployed. Give them food for today and hope for tomorrow. Support medical care workers in their endless and sometimes fruitless tasks of attending to the pandemic patients. Provide needed medical supplies for hospitals. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for ourselves. Renew our spirits with the living hope of Christ's resurrection, and hear also the private petitions of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, we praise you for the lives of all who have died in the faith. Sustained by the promise of healing and resurrection, free us from the fear of death, and bring us at our end with all the saints into the joy of your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your peace, which passes human understanding, we offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God be with you all. Thank you. Let's share that peace. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, Awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray together as Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now we will say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Almighty God, Father and Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.